All right, let's see if we can't. Get into chapter 6 here a little bit. Praise God. All right, we looked at still chapter 6, talking about, you know, you can disarm sin. We looked at let's see how many of them. 12 treatments. They say for sin. First was a new birth. Number 2, sit down and think. Number 3 was exercise yourself. Number 4, the word answer. Number 5, go for light. Number 6, listen to your conscience. Number 7, the power of choice. Number 8, the strength in the inner man. Number 9, holiness is a possibility. Number 10, stop that habit. Number 11, disconnect. And number 12, engage the blood weapon. Praise God. We looked at number 1, you know, that was talking about, you know, the new birth. Whenever we're born again, Romans talks about how sin will have no dominion over us, right? All right, so the second thing he talks about there is, and number 2, he talks about is sitting down and thinking. And then in Proverbs 5 and 12 and 13, it says, how I have hated instruction and my heart despises reproof and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor incline my ears to them that instruct me. One of the things, you know, that the apostle was talking about tonight, you know, and that's one of the things about, you know, grace is that, you know, you're going to always have abusers of grace. Just like you have abusers of anything else. You're going to always be those that will abuse and, you know, they feel like, okay, you know, since grace got us, you know, we just, in other words, they think that grace is really a big cover-up. But grace, we saw scripture that's not what grace is. Grace is not a cover-up for. I think that it's important for us to really understand. See, while we're getting liberated and free, we have to make sure that the enemy doesn't slip up on us. Amen. You with me? Well, he talks about there in Haggai 1 and 5, too. It says, therefore, thus said the Lord, consider the ways. So the author said we need to sit down and find out from God's word what benefit can sin offer. What benefit has sin ever offered any man? Sin is a destroyer. And it talks about the example of the prodigal son. He reasoned his way back home. And it says in that 17 verse, Luke 15 and 17, it says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And so, you know, he came to himself. We said the reason why he came to himself, because he got hungry. He didn't just get a revelation from God. He was hungry. And he started thinking about, you know, at his father's house, you know, how they had it made at the house. So, you know, he said, I'm going to rise and go back to my father. And the thing about it, I told you in the, I think I told you in the last class, is that according to the law of Moses, he was really supposed to have been stoned. The son was supposed to have been stoned because whenever he was rebellious and that kind of thing, you know, they'd bring him out, you know, in the city before the elders in the city, and they'd stone him. But what it showed the picture of God's grace being a loving father. That he didn't carry him out to get him stoned. He really was looking for him to return. You understand what I'm saying? God is and when we understand that, you know, about God's love and how he loves us, the love of God, like the apostle was saying, I don't think nobody who really have a relationship with God really don't look for an opportunity to do the wrong thing. No, that's no way. That's no way nobody, no way that the people in this school can tell me that I paid my money to come to the school to learn more about God so that I could be a rascal. There's no way. There's no way that nobody can tell me that. You know what I'm saying? No way nobody can tell me that. Praise God. So then in Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now, let us reason together, said the Lord, though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be like they shall be as wool. So if you don't know how to think, you'll never know how to turn. So you have to stop and think so that you can turn. This is the hour of restoration. Then the third thing he says, you have to exercise yourself. In Acts 24 and 16. Let me say this before I go there. I think that one of the things that the Apostle Paul was really trying to get us to see is that he wanted to take away our boasting. Yes, sir. He wanted to take away, God doesn't want us to have a chance to boast in our own strength, yes, but that we rely on his strength. You with me? Because, watch this, I've seen this in Christendom. I've seen how, you know, there's been so much competition and that sort of thing and stuff. But really, really, God never intended for us to compete. You with me? So if he didn't intend for us to compete, then I shared this with y'all once before, too, that nobody is... In the sight of God, nobody's better than nobody. That's right, sir. We all on the same level. That's right. You with me?
Yes, sir.
So I told you that the way that you determine the value of a thing is the price that's been paid for the thing. And so if you think about it, if we think about it, each one of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the same price been paid for each one of us.
Yeah.
So that means that neither one of us can look down on another. Because watch this, if you think about it, the Bible says we came from dust, didn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Now, if you really add up how much we worth, you know, as far as the dirt, you know what I'm saying? We can dress up the dirt, you know, we can comb the hair and make the dirt. We can put makeup on the dirt. You understand what I'm saying? Make the dirt look good. You understand what I'm saying? But we still dirt. You see what I'm saying? So it really put us all on the same level. So the price that was paid, the reason why we're valuable is because of the price that's been paid for us. And that's the blood of Jesus. And so then I don't have to walk around with my head down because somebody else may have more than I have. You understand what I'm saying? Because guess what? Amen. There are no more than I am. So I don't have to feel inferior. See, nobody have to feel like they're inferior. If you're in Christ, there's no way. See, there's no reason for us to compare. The Bible says if we compare ourselves with ourselves, the Bible says we are unwise. We are not wise. We're not wise when we compare ourselves to each other. You understand what I'm saying? So the next thing he talks about here, he talks about exercising. Now, let me say this here. I'm going again. Let me say this. I believe that, you know, the Bible talks about not frustrating the grace of God. I think that, you know, as believers, we have to cooperate with God's grace. We have to cooperate with God. First of all, like the apostle said, you know, a lot of times we have been so achievement minded. We try to think about it. From the time that we get up of any age, you know, we've been taught to achieve. We got to work to achieve. Everything we do, we're doing it to achieve. You understand what I'm saying? So it's all about us working to achieve. And so then when we really understand grace is not about what we work to achieve. It's what he's already worked to achieve. It's what's already been achieved by the work, the finished work of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? So now that does not mean that, you know, I become lazy and I do nothing, but I've got to rely on what he's done for me so that I can rest in that grace. And I can, Paul said, I labored more than you all. But then he said, it wasn't I that did the labor, it was the grace of God that was in me that was laboring. In other words, God gave him the ability to be able to labor. And so watch this. He was never taking the credit for anything that he did. Paul started talking about, I don't know if it's Corinthians, but he started talking about, Paul really started giving his, I call it a pedigree. You know, I raised dogs, so I call it a pedigree. He started talking about his stock, where he from. And, you know, he was a Pharisee and that sort of thing and stuff. And so he started talking about, you know, how he was trained and how he was taught and that sort of thing. And then he turned around, he hauled off and says, I count it all loss for the excellency of Christ. Hallelujah. So in other words, Paul said, all the education that I got, I don't even look to that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Watch this, y'all. It does not mean that Paul was putting down on his education. Yes, but Paul said, there's a higher education. Yes, yes. There's a wisdom that God gives that outdo any educational institution. That, you understand what I'm saying? So then he began to give credence to God. And so that's what it's all about. Everything that we do, we have to make sure, even in scriptures, we have to see, is this about self-effort, or is this about, you know, the grace of God? Jesus, help me. Let me see if I can slow down. It's about giving God all the glory. It's about knowing that it's about him and it ain't about us. You understand what I'm saying? It's not about us. So I see more now how God really designed it to work. So he's talking about exercise yourself. He said in the Bible says in Acts 24:16, it said, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and men. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, that's no way that I think that the Apostle Paul, some of the things that he was saying, but because of not having the revelation about grace, we think that he was talking about, he was doing it. But see, I think that's why he come on down further down the road. He's talking about not I, but it's the grace of God that does it. So I believe that even when he's talking here, he's talking about exercising myself. I believe that, watch this. Our conscience, we've heard this saying that let your conscience be your guide.
Yes.
But if you have not filled your conscience with the right information, your conscience may not be a good guide. You understand what I'm saying? You remember that was times when Paul said, my conscience bear record with the Holy Ghost, bear witness with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
So really, my conscience ought to be really bearing witness with the word.
Yes.
So watch this. So he says, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and only the violent take it by force. Nothing moves without force. When you exercise yourself against any form of unrighteousness, heaven will declare your righteousness. Heaven will declare your righteousness. I am the righteousness of God. You understand?
Yes.
So watch this. We are supposed to be more forgiveness conscious than we are sin conscious.
Yes.
I am always supposed to be aware that I'm forgiven, that I am righteous.
Yes.
I am righteous. I'm not going to be righteous. I am righteous. I have to always keep that before me. I have to always keep my conscience. See, because our conscience is designed. When Adam fell, when they ate from the tree of good and evil, then they developed a conscience, and that conscience always would always demand justice, because whenever you did the wrong thing, your conscience would always tell you, well, the conscience would say, you deserve punishment. You deserve punishment. Okay, I got to exercise my conscience. I got to get my conscience right now so my conscience understand that I'm righteous. I don't need to be punished. So I need to always remind myself, no, I don't need to be punished. Amen. I am righteous. I'm righteous. You with me? So it has to be something that I'm always aware of. I'm always making my conscience aware of it. My conscience needs to be bound with the word. The word says I'm the righteousness of God. So, amen, no matter if I make a mistake, are y'all with me here?
Yeah.
We're not talking about hauling off and deciding that we're going to live a life of sin. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, amen, the child of God. There's no way that you and I, we're going to be able to walk from the beginning of our life to the end of our life without making mistakes. That's no way we're going to be able to do it. You understand what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, we understand that, see, watch this. Even as from a standpoint, like the apostle said, we don't repent now, you know, because we begging God to forgive us, you know, because we're trying to get back right with God. No. We're saying, God, I'm sorry. You understand? But it's from another position now, because I'm already forgiven. Okay, just like, you know, you with your child, you know, has done something, and they say, you know, they say, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Well, I already forgive. You know, that's my baby. Yeah. I already forgive you, baby. I know you didn't mean no harm by doing it. And see, we have to see God as this loving Father, and he's not ready to punish us, but he's already. So that means that, you know, when I'm asking forgiveness, I'm asking forgiveness from I'm out of the honesty of my heart. Lord, I really missed it. Father, I really missed it. But I'm not doing it because I'm begging for him to forgive me, because I'm already forgiven. Are y'all with me here? Then Paul hauls off and says in 1 Timothy 4:8, he talks about for bodily exercise profit a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. So we say exercise yourself unto righteousness. Godliness requires spiritual exercise to be enforced. Holiness is the fastest vehicle on the earth to anywhere you desire to go to. Then Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 9 and 26-27, he said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so I fight. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body under and bring it to subjection, lest by at any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. So your body can be subjected by the power of your will, hooked up to the grace of God. Yes. Hallelujah. I say hooked up to the grace of God.
Yes. Yes.
So to keep under your body means to exercise, you say, to immorality, no. To bribery and corruption, no. You say to your body, shut up there. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
See, it's almost like this now. See, you know, like when we walking by the law, it's like we got a sign, you know, that's always before us, like this, you know, always telling us, you know, we always in our mind we thinking, you know, I can't, you know, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. But the thing about it, once we have been born again, God said, I'm gonna write it on their hearts. So it's already in there.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? When I'm born again, amen, it's already in here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we already know that when we go in a certain direction, you understand? Because one thing that we have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us.
Yes, sir.
You with me?
Yes, sir.
Now I said the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about when the Comforter comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, said he is going to convict the world of sin.
Yes, sir.
So the Holy Spirit really don't be convicting us of sin. He really be convicting us of righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You understand? So, but our conscience a lot of times is making us feel like a dirty dog.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
You with me?
Yeah.
So, but the thing about it is, the Holy Spirit says, get up. He says, get up, you're righteous. You get up, don't get on it, don't wallow. You understand? You don't wallow in your failure. You've fallen, but get up because you're righteous. Because if you stay down long enough in a position, you'll think that's who you are.
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit is trying to make you get up, amen, so that you can see that you still a king and a priest.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, let's turn over that right quick. I think it's a good time to turn that. 1 John. I'm going to come back there. John. John 1 and 17. It said the law was given by Moses. The law was what? Look, the law was given by Moses. But grace and truth came. In other words, amen. The law was given. It was given from a distance. You understand? But grace and truth came near. Because the Bible says, look at verse 14. Go back to verse 14. It said the word was made flesh. 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 All right. It said, and dwell among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. And then in the 17th verse, he said that the law came by. So he explaining, amen, that grace came. So we said grace is a person, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, if grace is a person. Let's go to Titus. Where the apostle was showing us tonight. Let's go to Titus 2 and 11. Let's see. It says, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, it said, for the grace of God, his unmerited favor and blessings, has come forward, appeared for the deliverance from sin and to eternal salvation for all mankind. Then it said, it has trained us. What trained us? What? Okay, watch this. Grace trained us. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. So now, if he said grace trained us, if it has trained us to reject and renounce, Jesus is grace. Grace is a person. The Bible says that, the Bible talks about, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, right?
Yes, sir.
And then the Bible says, you shall know the
truth
and the
truth
shall make you free.
Yes, sir.
All right, so if grace and truth is wrapped up in Jesus, and Jesus is synonymous with the word, then this word, oh my God.
Yes.
See, grace is right here in the word. That's why the word got the power, amen, to pull you out of anything.
Yes.
But if you look away from the word, you don't have that power. See, that's why the Bible talks about we can't frustrate the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
I can't turn my back on the word. Because I don't have the help to keep me to going on the right track.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I got to have. So he said it trained us to reject and to renounce all ungodliness, irrelevant. Oh Lord. Okay. We have to have, that's why we have to have a connection.
Yes, sir.
We have to always practice the presence of God. In other words, we have to always come before the Lord.
Yes,
you understand what I'm saying? Because this is something that has helped me. I don't know about nobody else, but this is something that has helped me. The more you get in the presence of God, the more things start falling off you.
Yes, 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 yes.
Come on. I mean, you understand? I was a person who had a real, real quick temper, just crazy. You understand? But the thing about it is, when I started getting in the presence of God, amen, he started all that bad, the anger and all that stuff, it just started falling off.
Yes.
I start, you know, because the more I got in his presence, the hungrier I got for the word.
Yes.
And the word started shaping me. And let me tell you what happened. I had a gentleman Sunday. I was on my way into the sanctuary to go minister, and so I had a gentleman say, look, he said, I don't know what's happening to me. I said, what you mean? He said, the other day, I got out my car, I was going to the grocery store. He said, and on my way out, I saw the lady when she got out the car. She said she dropped a big roll of money. He said, and it wasn't no little, small amount of money. He said, and I watched her leave, drop it, close her door, go to the doorway of the store. He said, and I went picked it up, and I screamed, lady! She said, yeah, what's wrong? He said, you just dropped a fistful of money. She said, oh, Lord, that wasn't even for me. She said she was holding it for somebody because something that they had to do later. And so he said he gave the lady the money. And so he said then later on that day he got paid. He said his boss man gave him $100 too much. He said he told his boss, he said, man, you got $100 too much on here. And boss said, no, I didn't realize that. So he said, man, I remember the time. He said, the thing about it is, you know, the weather been bad and we really hadn't been working. You know, he said, so, you know, I really could have used that money. He said, but something just got a hold of me. I said, man, that's the grace of God. I said, that's the grace of God. But he understood that it wasn't none of him. Because he could have found something to do with it. You understand what I'm saying? So he had some help. He had God's help. Amen. Help keeping him honest.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Glory to God.
I'm just telling you, praise God. This grace, it's going to help you. It's going to teach you. Hallelujah. Then it says, renounce all ungodliness, irreligion, and worldly passion, desires to live discreet, temperate, self-controlled, upright, devout, spiritually whole lives in this present world. Hallelujah. Thank God we don't have to try to do it on our own.
Yes, Lord.
Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. So then Paul, as anointed as he was, said he had to exercise himself to the height he found himself. Exercise yourself against bitterness, envy, strife, immorality, lying, etc. If you don't exercise, you fail. Nothing happens in your life without your permission. When you say no under God, hell must bow. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And he's the one that he empowers you to say no. No, no, no. The apostle was saying something tonight, and man, it's so true. Watch this. Sin. It destroys. Okay, watch this, y'all. Watch, I'm gonna show you. Okay, let's just say if a person says that, you know, well, I'm under the grace of God, you know, so I can just kind of just, you know, do what I want to do. All right. Okay. And they go and they, let's say they, you know, they meet somebody they don't really know, even if they knew them. And the person could have AIDS. Hallelujah. And they sleep with them. You understand what I'm saying? Now, they may say, you know, I'm covered by grace. You with me? But the consequences of that, they could have gotten infected. And so now, they got a death sentence against them. And what, God didn't do it. God didn't have anything to do with it. You understand what I'm saying? So I believe that the enemy, he's still trying to, he's trying to hoodwink folk, because I believe that it's the many folk in the church that still, especially, now let me go over in this direction. I believe that a lot of, I'm not going to say the majority, I'm just going to say that there are preachers who've been preaching the law a long time, but the reason they switched and got a hold of grace message is because they fail. Hallelujah. They would not have, the grace message would not have been, they would not have preached it before, but because now they need grace. You understand what I'm saying? So they preach it on those. And that's why I'm so glad that we follow an apostle. And see, the apostle, they straighten out doctrine. They straighten out church doctrine. That is the calling that's on an apostle's life. You with me? So with our apostle, God told him that, hey, okay, we need to shift, because this gospel that we've been preaching, this mixture of grace and the law, you know, it's really like he explained to us how, you know, you can't put new wine in old wineskins, or you're gonna ruin the bottle and the new wine gonna be wasted. You understand what I'm saying? So you don't benefit from none of it. You see what I'm saying? So with him straightening it out, it's not because, you understand that he fell into something, and all of a sudden, you know, he said, well, I need grace, so I better preach this grace message. Now, no, it wasn't that. It was that the Apostle Paul, that's what the Apostle Paul was doing. When he was telling Peter and them, he said, look, now, we can't, you cannot hold folk to this standard of the law. Now, the Pharisees, now, if you study the Pharisees, the Pharisees, what the Pharisees did, the law, now, you know the law, could nobody keep the law. But what the Pharisees was doing was, they was bringing it down so that they could kind of, you know, live by it. They was lowering the standard of it. See, that's why Jesus came, and Jesus said stuff like, Jesus told him, say, nah, you know, if you hate your brother. See, they was thinking about outward things, you know, how people act outward. But Jesus was talking about even if something is wrong on the inside. So this is what he said. Jesus said, if you hate your brother without a cause, he said, you're a murderer. Yeah. You're a murderer. He said, you know, person, I'm not a murderer. I didn't cut nobody and stuff. But Jesus said, if you got it in your heart, you're a murderer. He said, even if you look upon a woman to lust after, he said, you committed adultery. So he said, while you thinking it's just by touching her, he said, no. He said, so you really can't keep this. You really can't keep that. And so the law, it was really came to us so that we understand that we can't do it on our own. This all the law was trying to get us to see. This all he's trying to get us to see. So that we can cry out to him, Lord, I need your help. That's all he was, you understand? That's what the law was for. The law was to show us that we can't do it on our own. God say, look, amen, you saved by faith. You ain't even saved yourself. And you say, so you can't even boast about it. Get rid of the boasting. It's not because of your own effort. It's because of what Christ did. You understand? So now the boasting has been taken away. All the glory is given to God. He said, now this is the way it's supposed to be. This is where if your life is not giving glory to God, you're not walking in grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to give him the glory for everything. 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 I mean everything. Anything that you understand that you've achieved or whatever, God, you get the glory for this. Because there's no way I could have done it without you. I can't do it without you. I can't do it. I'm going to tell you something. I have seen supernatural things happen. I have been in situations. I'm going to show you something that happened to me one time. I was driving, and it was wet. Before I left, I said, this weather is crazy out here. I said, Lord, give me traveling grace. You know what I'm saying? And so I was driving, and so a car pulled out in front of me. So when I stopped, my car swung around and started swinging, and then it had a car coming. And the car was coming directly at me. It couldn't go another way because another car was on the other side. And that car swerved, and man, I just knew I was hit. And look, when I opened my eyes back up, the car was straight. I said, Lord, I thank you so much. I could not have gone to a driving school that could have taught me how to maneuver in that kind of condition. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. And God just wants us to know you can't do it on your own. I just need you to just let me help you in every endeavor that you have. Everything that you have, if you want to accomplish it, let me help you. But when I help you, I don't want you to take the credit. I want you to give me what's due me. Give me the glory for it. You understand what I'm saying? And I think, listen to me. I got off the lesson again. Listen to me. I think that this is when the signs and the wonders gonna come in the church in full force. Because when he's glorified, he'll show himself strong. You understand what I'm saying? Let's say every man in here. When your wife starts saying things to you, telling you, you know, how wonderful you are and stuff, and you want to show them your strength. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Come on now, you know, y'all know I'm telling you the truth. You know what I'm saying? So you think about when you start giving God the glory, God say, oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. God say, the last thing I did for you was nothing compared to what I'm about to do for you now. Why? Because, amen, because you giving him the glory. God said, oh, I'm going to show myself strong in your behalf. And I believe that this is why God is, it's about to turn up. Yes, that's what them young folks say. If I turn up, y'all say, turn up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me go back over to my lesson. All right. I'm going to number four. It's the word answer. Ezekiel 36:24-25 says, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. And from all of your idols will I cleanse you. And then Ephesians 5:26 says that you may be sanctified and cleansed with the washing of the water of the word. Now, you know what? When I think about that scripture right there, and talking about the washing of the water of the word, the word cleanse you, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Remember when Peter, with Jesus, when they was in the upper room and they had came off the dusty road and stuff, you know, and it was it was an insult to folk whenever if you went in their house without cleaning your feet, without your feet being washed. You know, it's just like, you know, you go leaving out the mud and stuff, you know, you go in somebody's house just tracking. But then, you know, they had all these dusty roads, so they had their sandals on, but when they go in somebody's house, they had a basin where they would wash their feet. So nobody was there to wash the feet of the disciples when they came. So Jesus got the basin. And Jesus was getting ready to wash feet. But guess what Peter said? Peter said, oh, no, you're not washing my feet. He said, you're not washing my feet. He said, no, you're not washing my feet. And sometimes pride can stop you. What am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying that just like Jesus was washing the feet, the word, Jesus, same person.
Yes,
the Bible said in the beginning was the word. The word was with God and the word was God. So Jesus, before his name was Jesus, his name was the word. So now, right here in that scripture, it says, cleansed by the washing of the water of the word, sometimes pride will stop you from letting grace wash you.
Yeah. Wow.
Lord, have mercy. Yeah. Sometimes pride will, it'll stop you from allowing grace to wash you. Because if Jesus, in the word, grace and truth came, and the Bible described the grace and truth, the Bible said, you know, the word became flesh and dwell among us, and we beheld the glory, the only glory, of the Father, full of grace and truth. So then now we have to allow him to wash us. I believe this. I believe that the word is the thing that causes us, causes the filth and everything. You understand what I'm saying? Because saints of God, you know, we can shout all day long about how saved we are and stuff like that. But we got some stuff. You know, I watched that commercial. You know, that man be talking about, I forgot, buy you some kind of thing. Man said, we not something, we something else. The saints, yeah. You know, the saints, we not something, we something else. You know what I'm saying? And so we have to allow that word to clean us. You understand what I'm saying? Now the sin, we've been washed by the blood, but we have some attitudes and all kind of stuff that needs to be. You understand? And so when it comes to that word, how many of you know that word? So he said that Jesus said to his disciples in John 15:3, he said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you know, the Bible talks about reign as kings, kings and priests and that kind of thing and stuff. So as kings, we really have to speak the word over ourselves. We have to declare the word. See, I'm righteous. You understand what I'm saying? I'm righteous. I speak as a king. You understand what I'm saying? I'm righteous. I'm not only that, amen, I'm healed. I'm blessed. You understand? I have no lack. I speak as a king. I proclaim as a king. Hallelujah. And that word that I'm speaking, as I speak it, that word is bringing the thing to pass in my life. Hallelujah. I'm through for the night. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Text next week's. Yeah. We're gonna put it on the internet. Okay, we're gonna put it good. Yeah. we're gonna put it on the internet though. Yeah, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, because I didn't get four, did I? I didn't get four in the book. Praise the Lord. Glory.